Devin Williams joins the Antidote for a talk. Thanks for fitting us into your schedule.
Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure and honor to be on your show.
Oh, just wait. You'll be changing your mind about that shortly. You know what? You and I have got to clarify something. You're Devin Williams, the music artist, and not the baseball pitcher.
You know, that I do share a name with quite a few professional people. There's some athletes out there. I think there's a blues guy up in the Midwest, a jazz guy, and I think there might be a couple of rappers named Devin Williams. So it is what it is.
I read somewhere that you also wanted to play baseball professionally, but the music took over.
You're exactly right, man. Baseball was my thing. Baseball and music. My parents were, you know, musicians, and so the first thing I ever did was, you know, listen to them jam as a baby. But then, you know, right around 10 or 12, man, I just fell in love with this game called baseball. I live in California at the time. My hero was Oral Hershiser. He was the pitcher for the Dodgers. And I was like, man, I could do that, you know. And I did play 1 year in college and loved it. But I just realized that I need to do one or the other at that point. And it was kind of a difficult decision, but I mean, I realize that no matter what decision you make, I mean, it's still a lot of work regardless. It's like one's not guaranteed over the other. If I would have chose baseball, it'd be just as hard and challenging as trying to be, you know, professional musician. So I just felt like music was my first love, you know?
You know, something I'm really impressed by with you is all the time and effort you spent in choosing Devin Williams to be your artist name.
I love it. You know, that has come up a few times over the years. I will say I had a couple band names when I first started out. No matter what name I came up with, there was like a rebuttal. Someone would say, oh, well, that's dumb or something, you know. And then I would wrestle with it for weeks and I'm saying, well, okay, I'm changing the name, guys. And then the band would be mad at me. And so I think it was around 2010. I just decided I'm just going to go with my name and everybody else can just put up with it, you know, and I'm like, it's my name. It's all I got, man.
But seriously though, it's not just you. You do have some help with your music. So who else is involved?
Oh man. Yeah. I got a killer band. I'm pretty loyal to those that are, you know, work with me. Like if you work with me and you are consistent and you love to play, like you're going to be my go-to guy. So some of the guys that have actually been playing with me since 2003. It's hard to keep a band together. So like even the guys that have been with me, you know, for 20 years or something, they play in other groups and then sometimes they'll travel for months with another group. So, you know, and it's difficult to keep them all together. So I have backups, and I will say, because I want to give props to the guys that are playing with me right now. I've had a solid drummer, man, guy here in Nashville. His name's Brandon Center. Have you ever heard of Belmont College? Mm-hmm. You know, he's a Belmont grad, you know, so he's killer, man. And he's been playing with me since 2016. So yeah, 10 years, man. Years go by fast. So we got Brandon on the drums and the guitarist he's actually been playing with me since 2003. And his name's Kenny Sane. And he went to prestigious music school, man. And he's just amazing guitar player. And Kenny Sane, man, he's amazing. And then the bass player is probably the newest guy, but it's been 4 years. So I don't say he's new anymore, you know. And his name's Darren Lucas. And he has a long history of, you know, being in the industry and touring and, you know, label deals and stuff. So I have a great band. You know, it's weird because I've never really liked the solo artist thing, but it's just kind of how it worked out for me. I've always wanted the band feel, but I had to do it on my own.
Now, you've already mentioned about the time frame, because you have been in the music scene forever. You mentioned to me in an email that your first album even predated iTunes. So now you got to tell me, which era was better for marketing your music, then or now?
Wow. Yeah, it's a great question. The very first album I came out with, I'm going to date myself, man. but it was literally just right before iTunes. So I think I had about two or three years before iTunes, and then everything went haywire. Because I can remember, you know, early 2000, they were telling me, you know, hey, man, this internet thing is going to change everything. You know, we're going to be able to go on and market our stuff to everyone in the whole world. And I thought, that's going to be great, you know. So that first two or three years, my first album I released in the fall of 98, 10-song CD. And one thing that was really cool about it is people like to discover something new. So if I played, you know, in a coffee house, everybody there wanted to know who I was. Like, who is this guy? I've never heard of him. And, you know, there's no social media, so they've got to talk to me, you know. So I had a lot more interaction with people those first few years. And I sold a lot more CDs. You know, I'd play a show and sell, you know, 200 CDs. I could do a show for free because, you know, I'd sell, you know, 200 CDs for $10 a piece.
You're doing pretty well.
Yeah. You know, actually I paid. So I was still in college at the time. And so that money that I made, I actually printed, you know, back then it was still a little more challenging. There wasn't a disc makers or, you know, I had to find a place that would print them. And there were the old style jewel cases and they weren't cheap. So, you know, I printed 1,000 and sold every one of them in like 6 months, which, you know, for a 19-year-old kid, I'm thinking, man, I'm on my way. I'm going to be a rock star. And, but things really did change. The first project that I went digital with was in 04. And that's the one that you can grab online on Spotify and all that. But it's been difficult to sell any CDs. And then with social media, it, you know, people just don't come up and talk to you as much. But it just seemed like for those few years, it was harder, but the payoff was a little bit better if you could get in front of more people.
Well, you know what? Why don't you and I pull in one of those early songs? And I guess this came out in 04, as you were talking about. The Rock, R-O-K, was on the release, Where Do I Begin? And I love that album title because it makes it sound like you didn't know what direction you were heading. But did you?
You know, I came to Nashville with a lot of dreams, you know, and I just didn't know. And it, we took it from a line in one of the songs, and it just seemed like it was perfect for the name of the album. Where were we supposed to start? I mean, at the time, I think I was 21, recording and releasing my first Nashville album. And it's cool. You know, like, okay, let's start this game out, you know?
Well, the song was called The Rock, but has rock music always been your thing?
I think so. So I grew up in California in the late 80s. You know, everything was pop. Pop, top 40 was what everybody listened to, you know? So, and then my parents, you know, they played cover songs. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I sang everything popular for years. You know, it was just like Elvis and the Beatles and La Bamba, you know, just in California, everybody listened to everything. I mean, I was listening to a lot of the 80s bands, like Motley Crue and Poison. And but then one day, somebody gave me a Nirvana CD. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm not listening to this grunge stuff. It's just four chords, man. You know, come on. And they don't have long hair. You know, like, where's the, you know, the 80s metal stuff, you know? But what really changed me on the grunge music was Soundgarden's Super Unknown album, like that.
Oh, sure.
Chris Cornell, I'm like, this guy, the writing, the melodies, the music behind the songs, like, you know, it's not just 4/4 he's playing, you know, like standard stuff. They're doing, you know, 5/7 and I don't know, just all kinds of different types of musical aspects and not just pop music, you know. So that really that changed my direction. But I will say, I love music. Like I'm also, you know, I'm a music director and I've been doing that always on the side my entire career, helping out churches. I just love to hear like great musical things. But as I got older, I kind of got into to more of the grunge rock and like metal.
Well, I think the first time that I connected with your music was back in, I think it was 2014 when you released Overload.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We worked as hard as we could to get it out to the public. I think it's the biggest challenge is trying to just get it out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, the song that I really went for was Eraser. And part of one verse goes, I turned my back and tell myself I can't change the past with everything I've done. In that song, were you saying that you had regrets?
Well, you know, that's what that line is definitely about. But I would say that I'm telling a story, but maybe it's a common story that people, they just have regrets about what they've done. Like, you know, I can't change this. I have to move forward. I think we all have to do that to some degree. You know, like I made a mistake, I hurt somebody. I've done what I can to try and fix it, but I have to move forward and bury the past, you know?
Well, here's something else I've been wondering about. Has the music of Devin Williams always been geared to a Christian audience?
No, that's a great question. But no, before I surrendered to the call of my life to be a Christian, I didn't want to do any of that. I just wanted to be a rock star. And I didn't like Christian music. I thought some of it was cheesy. I felt like the musicality of a lot of Christian music that I had heard just wasn't very good at the time. Like bubblegum style music with a great message, but I don't know. I always felt like reality was always harder than the message. You know, everything is not roses. Even if you're a Christian, you still suffer some. You know, you have to. It's life. We're all on this planet and dealing with stuff. But the music, you know, it's like, oh, everything's perfect. And it's not, you know. So when I surrendered to the call of my life, I didn't feel like that I wanted to write songs for Christian people. I want to write songs that anybody can identify with to say, hey, that makes sense. Yeah, I've had that struggle. And then, you know, not be labeled as a, I know that this is always a controversy with people who are Christians and musicians, but are you a Christian band or are you not a Christian band, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I started off as a non-Christian band with Christians. We just wanted to play rock. Like I wanted to open up for, you know, well, I was going to say Three Doors Down, but they, you know, they came out as Christians or whatever. But at the time, you know, we were like, we want to open up for, you know, Foo Fighters. We want to go on the Warped Tour and we just want to share our story, you know, because if they label you a Christian band, then they won't invite you. They're not going to say, oh, yeah, here's this. What are you guys going to do? Come up here and sing Kumbaya. You know, no, we're rockers. We love music. We're going to entertain you and we're going to tell you a really cool story about crap that happened in our life. You know what I mean? So that was the initial goal. But over the years, I don't know. I feel like every song, even from the beginning, has always had a underlying silver lining of my faith. So I'm not trying to hide anything. But in 2009, I released Pour It Out. It's like the first completely just Christian. This album is for Christians. Hey, guys, here's the record that you have been wanting from me, you know? Because that album, Where Do I Begin, has a lot of undertones and just it's storytelling. There's not anything in there that's like explicitly, hey, guys, you know, I'm a Christian. I think if you listen to the lyrics, you'll hear that. But there were some Christian labels that just said, well, you're really not Christian enough for us. And then some of the you know, mainstream labels said, well, you got too many Christian undertones. And I'm like, I don't fit in, you know?
I can understand that.
Can I be a Christian and make great music? That's what I want to do.
Something that we haven't talked about is how Devin Williams can go mellow because you did a release called Devin Williams with String Quartet. I love it. But why did you do that?
Thank you. I love the strings, man, like cello and, you know, viola. I'm not going to say that this was the influence, but I really enjoyed Metallica's symphony and Metallica. Okay. I don't know. I thought that was great that they did these metal songs with a symphony orchestra, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of my songs, I thought, man, that might be cool if we had a cello play that guitar part. And so it started off with me, you know, working here at the, you know, on my own computer. I did one song by myself and I was just playing around. I threw in different cellos and, of course, keyboard. I'm playing the keyboard with cellos. I don't actually play the cello. But I took the time and I wrote out every part for the music for one of the songs. So we had two violins, a viola, cello, the bass guitar, bass what do you call it? The bass.
Upright bass.
Upright. Thank you. Thank you. That's it. And so I wrote, you know, all those parts out. I was using a software called Finale, and I was putting everything in, and I listened to it, and I thought, man, that's pretty cool. So I was like, I called a buddy of mine who's he's a cellist here in Nashville. I said, man, what do you think about this? And he goes, how many songs do you want to do? And I was like, well, I already did one. Let's do five more. And he's like, let's do it. And so he went to town. A couple of weeks later, calls me back. And of course, he's like a genius. So he's a lot faster than me. But anyway, he came back to me in about 2 weeks, and he had all five songs done. And he said, let's hit the studio. I've got a quartet that we could lay this music down with. And I was like, all right, let's do it, you know? And as far as budgets and all that stuff, it wasn't out of the price range. And I thought, man, I really would just like to have this. If no one else likes it, I like it. So I made that album for me.
And you found somebody else that enjoys it, me.
All right. Well, you know, and just one more note on that is there are days I don't want to rock out, man. I just want to hear something mellow and, you know, melodic and just beautiful.
Okay, so that was the mellower time. Now we got to talk about the new EP.
All right.
This could be a tough question for you, but I'd like to hear. How do you think the new Conquer the World EP compares to your previous releases?
Oh, man, that is a difficult question. I will say, I can't say that, you know, one's better than the other. I mean, right? Because they're all my babies.
Yes.
But I spent a lot of time with each song, like with melodies and lyrics. So I feel like it's probably some of the best songs I've ever written. I tried to dig deeper in the storytelling. But I will say that this latest EP, I really enjoyed like the whole process, and it felt more organic because I didn't use studio guys for this. So everything just felt closer to the chest. You know, it just felt real and more organic. This project was just a lot of growing because I'm not as in control, really allowing other people on the team, you know, the drummer, the producer. Of course, I've always, you know, given up my rights to the producer. I'll say, okay, producer, you always win, you know, because they're producing it. But I let go of a lot of the reins on this project, and I feel like it's better for that. Like everyone was able to put in there what they felt they wanted to put into it.
Well, you did go deeper on this album, and Curses is one of those songs, and it's a standout. One verse says, just like the wind, you can feel it surround you, like the cold raising the chills on your skin. In the morning when you wake up, the world is a mess, all alone with yourself and the bitter emptiness. So you're right on a couple points, you know, because this is a bitter cold winter.
Yeah.
And the world really is a mess, but neither of those is what the song is actually about. So why don't you fill us in?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's probably a little deeper than some of the other songs I have out there. I mean, it's not just the last 4 years or the last eight. You know, these are things that have been brewing in our world. I don't, probably before I was born. You know, when you're young, you just think, all I want to do is I just want to play music. And you write your songs about breakups or whatever, and things that you know about, things that you see in your daily life. But over the years, you know, you've just seen too much pain, but not just to myself. I mean, it's the world. Like, you see what's on the news right now and the things that are going on. These are things we were looking at in, you know, 2010. We were talking about amongst, you know, certain circles. We're like, this is what's going on in the world. It's really happening, but it's being hidden. And, you know, now people are like, oh, wow, yeah, this has been going on. We knew about it. No, you didn't. Because whenever I used to say, hey, this is happening, you guys thought I was crazy. So anyway, so I kept quiet, I'll just say. But just like the wind, you feel it surround you. To me, I'll just say that is a reference to the Holy Spirit. It's a reference to God. You can't see it, but there's something moving in our world. You can look in the wind at the tree moving or whatever, and you can see that it's there. That's kind of like, you know, God is moving in our world, even if you don't see it with your eyes. man, how many times I've just listened to a song or, you know, just feel some emotion. And it's like, man, your hair stand up. It's like, wow, something is happening. So I just wanted to kind of paint that picture that something is moving in our society. There's so many people that have their world in a mess. So many people struggling. You know, how do we break out of that? You know, how do we get back to normalcy and we're not bitter and have some peace? I mean, it all kind of goes together, I think, with, you know, the whole song, but finding definitions, different definitions of what curses can be, you know, there's generational curses, there's our vices, there's the junk that comes back, you know, envy, and of course the seven deadly sins and all these things that were constantly coming against us, holding us back. Like, okay, this is bothering me. I just need to stop doing this. The song is an anthem for all of us to like try to overcome those things, you know?
You know what else? Everything that you just said also ties into another song from the EP, Social Disease, because you sing, everything keeps changing faster. All you see is a lie. Social disease, it steals like a cancer. You don't even know you're deceived.
Ugh. I don't know. Sometimes you write something and you go, that didn't come from me. No, that was pretty good. You know, and I'll just tell you, I don't use AI or any of that stuff, like not for writing. I mean, it's got to come from my heart, from my head, from the spirit. I don't think it's wrong to use it as a tool. Anyway, that's another subject. But yeah, they do go kind of hand in hand, curses and social disease. And maybe all the songs kind of, you know, from the EP kind of, they're linked in some way. Maybe because when I'm writing these songs, I'm looking at our culture and our society. And, you know, we have a lot of curses and things we're dragging around. And then we have people get online and just that post so much stuff. And we don't know what's real and what's fake, especially now. And when I wrote the song, you know, even though it was only maybe 2 years ago when I wrote and recorded it, AI and the fake stuff has exploded in the last 2 years.
Oh yeah.
I feel like, man, I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying it was almost like a prophecy or something, because when I was talking about writing the song, I said, man, I can't tell what's AI and not AI. Like, and then you have the deceptive media out there. I don't trust any media. It's click. They want you to click on it. They want you to read it. They'll give you a headline and it's not even what the story's about, you know?
Oh yeah.
So they want you to get angry about something. and click on it and read it and go, well, I don't agree with that, you know, but, or I do agree with that. I guess they call that rage bait now, you know? So that's what the song's dealing with. Everything is changing and it's going faster. I mean, AI, all this stuff, our technology, it is moving at a crazy pace. And the stealing like a cancer, that was actually a tough line to put into the song, because I have friends that have cancer and I have friends that have lost their lives to cancer. So I don't want to take that word lightly. To me, we spend as a society so much time online arguing, you know, doom scrolling. It's taking our lives from us.
On the Conquer the World EP, you change things up by bringing it in a lighter side with the song Walk Through. So not doing rock, is this music still the real you?
I don't know. I love music, man, you know, but I think every rocker has like that acoustic song, you know, that maybe has a cool little beat in the back. I will say when we were going to record Walk Through, I talked to the producer about doing just acoustic. Couple acoustic guitars and, you know, main vocal and the harmony or something, you know, keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And as we were working on it, I don't know, I kind of just had this beat in my head, you know, and if you go out and listen to a lot of different rock artists, sometimes they'll throw a song like that in there. It complements the other songs a little bit. So like you're rocking out to one and it's, you know, just got this nasty guitar riff. And then, you know, a couple songs later, it's a little more mellow, a little more chill. I'm trying to give fans just a different taste of my music and my music creativity. It's not always just turn it to 11. So I hope that with that song, that takes my listeners and fans to a different place. And then they can come right back to the rock stuff.
Well, you put Walkthrough in to close up the EP, and the song speaks about finding the silver lining that God gives to us. But seriously, can't that be difficult to realize?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I wrote that song probably in one of the most difficult situations. It's not the most, but it was a very challenging moment in my career, in my walk. I was at the end of my rope, you know, kind of thing. I prayed about it and I just grabbed my guitar and I was playing this riff. I don't know. Sometimes you just mumble. I don't know. If you ever write a song, sometimes you just have to let it come out, even if you don't know what you're saying. Like your heart, your the inside of your soul, you know, is trying to say something. And I just grabbed the guitar and started playing the riff that you hear in that song and the melody and most of those words. And I hit record on my phone. And the first line was, "Don't tell me it's too late to turn around." You know, as a Christian, we say, "Oh, well, I feel like God's leading me to do this." Sometimes we get to a point where, okay, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it was just me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with this song, it just kind of takes that point. Like it was the wrong direction or whether it was the right direction. It doesn't really matter. I have to turn around at this point because I'm not satisfied. I'm broken in this place. These songs that I write, I try to write them from a personal lived experience. But at the same time, I'm thinking about all the people that I know who have experienced similar things. I'm thinking, man, maybe this is the way that they felt, that they were going through this situation and they needed that encouragement to say, it doesn't matter how you got to this situation. It's not too late, whether you were right or wrong. Let's turn around, you know, get right on the right path and start making some good decisions, you know, so that you can walk through to your next opportunity.
Now, I got to explain something that I am notorious for taking song lyrics out of context. And that same song has a line that says, "Life is too short to sing the same old song." Now, does that mean that Devin Williams will always be making new music?
Oh, that's probably it. No, you know what? I think I've got more songs in me. That brings up a funny little situation. I was working on an album and I was working on Overload. I hadn't really released it yet. I was just recording with the producer. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Hey man, what's next after this?" And I said, "I don't know. You know, I've written," at the time I was maybe 30 songs, you know, I said, "I think I'm done." He goes, "Really? So you're telling me that Devin Williams has nothing else to say, that he's poured out his heart, his mind and everything, and he's done?" And I was like, "Well, if you put it that way, no." I'm like, "But you know, I've written all these songs with great, you know, melodies and chords. How am I supposed to come up with new stuff?" And he's like, "You got it in you. This is who you are. Just don't give up, you know." And that was before Destruction of Kings. That was before my worship project. That was before some pop songs I did. And there's more songs, even if I feel like the well is a little dry. But that line there, "Life's too short to sing the same old song," I can mean a lot of things. I think I did that on purpose, you know, when I was writing it, because I don't know. I feel like in our lives, we get stuck doing stuff like, "Well, this is the way we do it." No, you can change. Or, you know, does it have to be rock and roll all the time? Or can I throw a country song? Well, I don't know if I'll ever do that. That might be a little too far for me, but don't get upset with me if I do write a country song though. Anyway, I feel like none of us have to be stuck in this rut that we're always doing the same thing, because life is just too short to be stuck somewhere and thinking, "Well, I can only do this because this is what makes money, or this is what makes other people happy." All of us need to figure out what makes us happy and what makes us, you know, brings us fulfillment.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Devin, I got to thank you for coming for a talk with The Antidote. We got to do this again someday.
Man, this was awesome. Thank you so much for having me on, Dave.